In recent years, we've seen some viral videos that have gone out of people that were colorblind who now, due to the help of what's called enchroma glasses, have been permitted to see color. And some of these are pretty spectacular videos to see the reaction on the person's face, to realize what they had been lacking and missing, to suddenly be able to see things in color. Or maybe you've seen the little children that videos of them first getting an implant in their ear to be able to hear their mother's voice for the first time, and just that response of absolute joy. And sometimes these little kids just start to cry and they're so excited to realize what they were missing without being able to hear sound. Imagine for a moment if you and I were permitted by God to actually have the soul, the mind, and the heart of Christ put into us, so that we could experience what it's like to truly love God all the way through, thoroughly, in every way. To absolutely bow to his authority, to honor and glorify him purely, without any sin in us. Just think if we could transplant for a moment what the mind and the heart of Christ would be like inside of us, how we would realize what we are lacking. Even as Christians, even as those who claim to love God and claim to want to follow him in things. When we look at these three commandments, the first three of them deal with what you might call the simplest of sins. They're the easiest things to do. Most of it has to do with your thoughts. Most of it has to do with just how you use your mouth and how you think about things. For Adam and Eve in the garden, our first parents, their first great temptation to violate the law of God was to put themselves above what he wanted. And really, that's what the first commandment deals with, is putting other things, even your own mind and what you think and want, above the law of God. And this is the ultimate violation of all of God's law. And every commandment flows from the first commandment. All of the commandments that we break really come back to that first commandment. So the first commandment deals with our hearts and our minds. Every little time that we doubt God's existence, every little time that we question whether God can take care of us and have doubts about him and his promises, every time that we place what we want above what God has said to us in his commandments, every time that happens, we are breaking that commandment. It's as if God says to us in this commandment, never let your heart cling to or depend upon anything or anybody else but me. The second commandment, which is one that typically just has to do with our mouths and how we use our mouths. This deals with issues that are far away from us, maybe we think, like false teachers and people who are falsely worshiping God in ways that he doesn't want. But it also includes how we use our tongues in talking about other people and talking to other people and swearing, maybe casually using God's name in vain. We use the initials today, OMG. And we think how quickly and easily we kind of take the name of God. That's what it means to take it in vain, to use God's name in a useless way. My father had a member of his church come up to him once years ago and say to him, this man was at the time in his 40s or 50s. And after one of his sermons, just on the second commandment, he said, I just never thought about how I don't take that seriously until today, how easily I just use God's name in frivolous ways and in meaningless ways. That's what it means to take his name in vain. The Lord says that he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is a serious crime against God. It's just so easy for us. It's just off of our lips. Cursing others with the name of God, wanting to call down something on another person, and wanting God to bring harm to another person. It can be as simple as breaking marriage vows, or divorce, or just adultery. The third commandment, likewise, deals with our relationship to God and his word. Every time that you kind of think less of what God's word says, every time you think that what you're imagining and thinking is better, or what your culture says is better and more important than what the word of God says, that is breaking the third commandment. Every time we have doubts about the truthfulness of God's word. Every time that you pretend with your friends or in a group of people that what God says is really something silly and funny and to be laughed at. Every time you place your own thinking as an authority above the authority of the Word of God, which really happens every time we sin, we ultimately break that commandment. Now, we've just gone through the first three very quickly. I remember after a 10-week study of the commandments, I had a lady come up to me after our Bible study one day, and she said, "You know, when you really get into the details of the commandments and study what they mean, you realize we're just sinning all the time." The purpose of this law, the purpose of God's law, is to show us that if you have any hope of thinking you're going to climb your way to heaven by your goodness, forget about it. That's why God had to send his Son, the very one who is transfigured, as we read in our text earlier this week, why God had to send his holy and pure Son into this world, not only to take the guilt that you and I have done by breaking those commandments on himself as he went to the cross, but on top of that had to be able to live out that perfect holy record that you and I could not live, so that he could give that to you and me, as God does in your baptism through his word. When you believe and trust in him through faith, you're grabbing that perfect righteousness. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father called out from the heavens, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." But when you have faith in Christ, it's as if God is saying that about you. "This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved boy. My beloved adult, my beloved professor, my beloved chaplain, my beloved this, my beloved that." When God sees Christ, because of the faith that by which we cling to him, it's as if he views you as holy and perfect and righteous. That's why God always addresses you in the epistle lessons as saints. That's why God calls you saints. I had a pastor tell me once, years ago, somebody asked him, he was retired now, he would come to our meetings, and they said, "Do you have any regrets about the ministry?" And I remember he started to tear up. His name was Martin Galstead. He used to teach here at Bethany. And he said, "The thing I regret the most is I didn't remind my people as much as I should that they are saints." And that's how God sees us. Someday when you and I, by faith in Christ, are finally in heaven, we will have in ourselves that perfect mind, soul, and heart that Christ alone had in this life. And we will realize what a glorious, wonderful thing that is as we stand and praise God forever. Amen.